What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another fun-filled episode of the Between the Tackles podcast. We're here for the Combine Week episode. So naturally, Manish, what are we going to be getting into today?
We're doing the Between the Tackles mock draft 1.0. Burge, are you excited? I mean, I cannot wait to talk about these guys.
I'm very excited. I mean, I'm kind of starved of football, you know. I mean, we've gone now, what, 3 Sundays now without watching the NFL, and I'm already starved for it. You know, I've been buried at work with snowstorms and just getting killed, and I'm sick of winter. I'm ready for spring. I'm ready for summer. I'm ready for football to come back, and this is the best way to get into it. So without further ado, let's kick off the first version of the mock draft for the Between the Tackles podcast. We've got an awesome little spreadsheet here for those of you watching on YouTube. The nice, pretty, basic spreadsheet, but we're going to get into it anyways. And I am going to start us right off the top. The Raiders have the first overall pick. Who do you think they're going to take? They're going to take Fernando Mendoza, the quarterback out of Indiana. I mean, there's no more obvious pick in the NFL draft this year than this one. The reigning Heisman Trophy, the reigning national champion for a team that is desperate for a quarterback. Tom Brady really wants to get a quarterback down there in Las Vegas. You know, it's not an entirely deep quarterback class, but this is a no-brainer pick.
Yeah, I agree. Now, what I do question is whether in any other year Fernando Mendoza would have been the number one overall pick, because just as you alluded to, it's I wouldn't say it's not a very good quarterback class. I think it's an exceedingly weak quarterback class. I don't think there's going to be more than one other quarterback. That's probably Ty Simpson taken in the first round. I would not be shocked if there were no quarterbacks taken in the second round. It's reminiscent, Burge, of the 2022 draft when Kenny Pickett was the first quarterback taken by the Steelers at 20. Nobody in the second round. And then you had Desmond Ridder and Malik Willis taken in the third round, really one of the weakest quarterback classes of the last decade or so. And frankly, when I look at who's behind Mendoza, even Simpson, I'm not sold on, and we'll get on that a little bit later. But beyond that, you know, to me, Carson Beck is a day three pick, frankly. I think Garrett Nussmeier from LSU, also not really worthy of a day two pick, to be quite honest with you. So, yeah, Mendoza is going to be the number one overall pick. I think he's got a solid future. I don't think he has an exceptionally high ceiling. I don't anticipate he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler or All-Pro type player. But as you said, look, Tom Brady is looking for a quarterback. The Raiders are desperate at that position, and they're going to roll the dice and hope that Clint Kubiak can bring out the best in this guy.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be very obvious that the Raiders need this quarterback. He's got the potential to turn that organization around at that position that's really been in disarray since Derek Carr left. It's going to be, hopefully the turnaround for the Las Vegas Raiders and Mark Davis down there. Second overall pick, Manish, your favorite team?
Yeah, look, this is where I think the draft really begins. Everybody knows it's a done deal here that Fernando Mendoza is going to be the top choice. The Jets are picking second and 16th. They've got 4 picks in the top 44, 5 picks in the top 105 or so. So they have a real opportunity here to rebuild a horrible defense. You know, we've talked about it all season. I think the only team in the last, a century or so not to have an interception for an entire season, which is mind-boggling to me. And Aaron Glenn, made some headlines during Combine Week by saying that he believes play calling is his superpower. So I think that this is a great opportunity for them to swing for the fences. There are a number of different directions they could go. I think pass rush is essential. I personally would go with David Bailey, the edge from Texas Tech, but I do think that Arvold Reese from Ohio State, a versatile player, much more versatile than Bailey, has a higher ceiling. Is he going to play off ball? Is he going to be an edge rusher? Is he going to turn into something like Micah Parsons in a few years? That's certainly what some teams hope. And I think if you're the New York Jets, you got to go with the guy with the highest ceiling. And to me, that's Arvold Reese.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you with how bad that defense was this year and the fact that they traded away the major pieces that they had on this defense, that they really have to start addressing that defense. And let's just hope that Aaron Glenn's superpower is calling plays and not falling asleep watching the combine, which happened today, the day of our recording. So let's just hope that really is his superpower there.
Yeah, and they're going to need an edge rusher to replace Jermaine Johnson, who they traded this week to Tennessee for Sweat, who's more of a run stopper in the middle, nose tackle. They're definitely going to be looking to affect the passer with the first pick. I just think Reese has a higher ceiling, perhaps riskier than Bailey. Again, I would take Bailey, but I think the Jets are more inclined to go with Reese.
Absolutely. Let's move on to another team that really, really had a down year. They fired their head coach this year as well, and that's the Arizona Cardinals. They're picking here at number 3. I think they're going to go with offensive line help here. I mean, obviously, they have the question marks with the quarterback and Kyler Murray, what's going to happen with that situation. But really, they just need to rebuild that entire offense down there in Arizona. And I think, you know, based on what I saw with my Patriots this year, with how the offensive line struggles and how it can limit the ceiling of that offense, that you've got to start building at the offensive line. And I have them taking right tackle Francis Mawigoa. I say that right? It's a tough name to say. I think I nailed it. He's a tackle out of Miami. I think really we talk about building from the trenches out. We talked about it quite a bit on the podcast this year about how critical a offensive line is for an offense to really be productive and reach its potential. And I think starting and investing a high pick in that offensive line position, especially tackle, is the way to go, especially with a rookie head coach there.
Yeah, I agree. And I think this is one of those instances where if it was a deeper quarterback class, you would see Michael LaFleur try to pick his franchise quarterback, but that's not in the cards. You're not going to reach for a Ty Simpson at 3. That's kind of ludicrous. Building in the trenches makes a lot of sense. Mawigoa is an Iron Man. The guy has 42 career starts. I don't even believe he's 21 years old yet. So this is a young player with a lot of experience. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong with a bookend player like that with a top 5 pick. Unfortunately for LaFleur, not only is this not a deep quarterback class, but it's not a deep class when you're talking about franchise left tackles. The best tackles in this draft will probably wind up as right tackles, and some of them may actually also slide into guard. So either way, look, it's a solid pick. I think the Cardinals will be best served if they go with this route, making, you know, the offensive line fortified for whoever the next quarterback is going to be. And you would anticipate that Cardinals would have a top 5 pick in a very deep quarterback class next year.
Yeah, you mentioned some of these tackles being potential guards. There's also the offensive tackle from Utah, Spencer Fano, who maybe has a little bit more of the versatility at that position. But I think for Arizona, trying to get the best tackle at the position, especially picking at number 3, is the way to go. Manish, who are we taking at number 4?
Well, it's the Tennessee Titans. They got a new head coach, a lot of cap space, and a guy on the sidelines who absolutely loves pass rushers. And we alluded to the Jermaine Johnson trade a moment ago, reuniting with Robert Saleh. Saleh loves his pass rushers. At this time a year ago, when he was the defensive coordinator for the 49ers, he did a very similar thing by trading for edge rusher Bryce Huff, who was unhappy and ineffective in Philadelphia. He does the same thing with Jermaine Johnson. I think that if you pair a edge rusher with Johnson, have two solid guys coming off the edge, you're going to make Robert Saleh very happy. And that's why I think they're going to go with Texas Tech edge David Bailey, who may be the best pure edge rusher in the group. There are legitimate questions about how he'll hold up against the run. I think long term, when he gets a little stronger, that may not be a problem. Right now, what I do know is that he is going to make an immediate impact in affecting the passer. So it's almost a no-brainer for Saleh to get a young pass rusher to now pair with his newest pass rusher in Jermaine Johnson.
Yeah, I think it's great for a defensive head coach and a defensive mind like Robert Saleh to add add this piece, especially, like you said, after Jermaine Johnson being brought in from New York, a guy that Robert Saleh knows very well, having coached there in New York. The Titans defense could be really formidable if they're able to get this kind of pressure from these two guys. Let's move on to the Giants. Now, the Giants are an interesting team. They obviously fired Brian Daboll last year. They did see some breakouts from guys with their quarterback, Jackson Dart. There's a couple of ways the Giants could go with this one. Do they seek another weapon for him with Malik Nabers out there to compliment him, or do they work on protecting Jackson Dart? And like we just talked about with the Cardinals, build from the trenches out. We're going to have the New York Giants taking the offensive tackle that was mentioned a couple minutes ago, Spencer Fano. We talked about his position versatility. I think he's going to be great in there to help protect Jackson Dart, who's going to be entering his second year as the quarterback for the New York Giants. And look, if you can't protect him, the wide receivers don't matter. So I think that, again, building that offensive line from the trenches out, building the whole offense that way, that's going to bring you success in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I think that John Harbaugh would be ecstatic if he got a 10-year offensive line starter out of this pick. And Fano, I think, ultimately stay a tackle, but he can play inside. You got to keep Dart healthy. I mean, I know a lot of the issues that Dart has had have been self-inflicted, running out of the pocket and being a little reckless with his legs. But ultimately, as you said, you can have all the weapons in the world. If you can't protect the guy under center, it's not going to do any good. I would anticipate that Malik Nabers would be ready to go fairly early after the ACL injury. It is tempting to go the wide receiver route, specifically one wide receiver who we're going to talk about in a minute. But I do think the smarter pick, really a Baltimore Ravens type pick, if you will, would be Fano. And been in charge in Baltimore for a better part of two decades is in New York. So I think Fano is going to be the choice.
Absolutely. Who we got at six, Manish, with the Cleveland Browns making the selection?
Yeah, so it's the first of two picks that Cleveland has. And, much like Arizona, if this were a quarterback-rich draft, I do think that they would draft a quarterback. With all due respect to Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, I think Todd Monken would have loved to draft a franchise guy there. But a guy that I think makes a lot of sense, much like the Giants, the issues are getting offensive weaponry and protecting the quarterback. I'm going to go with their first pick being Carnell Tate from Ohio State, about 6'4", roughly 200 pounds, an explosive vertical threat, a guy who can make a difference right away, whether it's for Sanders or Dylan. Who knows if Deshaun Watson's going to be in the mix this year. I don't anticipate that he would. But I think more so than anything, Tate's going to be the guy for the quarterback that the Browns likely will draft next year. Either way, just a dynamic weapon, game-changing presence. I think the best wide receiver in this draft. And frankly, I think he's probably the only dynamic wide receiver that should be taken early in the draft. I think when it's all said and done, you could have as many as a dozen wide receivers in the first two rounds. Of that dozen, I'm not sure there's going to be one superstar player other than Tate, because I do think that Tate's going to follow in the footsteps of other Ohio State wide receivers in recent years, Garrett Wilson, JSN, Chris Olave, and I think he'll be really a high-end player at the position, and Todd Monken can do a lot of damage with him once he gets the quarterback position settled.
Absolutely. I mean, the wide receiver options in Cleveland right now, I mean, you have Jerry Jeudy still there. But outside of that, there's no real name. So, like you said, they need offensive weaponry there. And whoever the quarterback is got to have somebody talented to throw to. So, hopefully, this year they can piece it together with whoever the heck is playing quarterback for the Cleveland Browns and get Tate moving there. Let's move on to number seven. The Washington Commanders are making the selection here. The Commanders took a step back last year. They were, the team with Jaden Daniels as a rookie that went deep in the playoffs, ended up losing to Philadelphia in that run. And then last year took a significant step back. Obviously, Jaden Daniels fought the injuries. But, they obviously need to improve the roster there. So I'm gonna have them going with on the defensive side of the ball. Ohio State linebacker Sonny Styles. I mean, can't go wrong. Dan Quinn's a defensive coach. They really want to build up that defense down there in Washington. And fantastic linebacker. I think he'd be a great fit for Dan Quinn down there.
Yeah, I agree. And look, you know, Fred Warner's 35, free agent. Who knows what's going to happen? But I think if you dig a little bit deeper, Adam Peters was in San Francisco when Warner was at his peak. He knows the value of having a stud in the middle of that defense. And I think that Styles is fast and rangy in coverage. I think his instincts still, you know, have a little bit room to grow, but I think that will come in time. It's a solid choice. It's a choice, you know, a player that maybe not a lot of people outside of the draft Nick world are talking about, but I think that would be a great pick for a Commander defense, frankly, that needs help all over the place.
Absolutely. Manish, are we going? Who's got number eight here? We got the New Orleans Saints on the clock and a very interesting situation there.
Yeah, look, they could go a number of different ways. I'm going with the best running back in this draft. That's Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. Depending on who you ask, Love could be very much like Bijan Robinson, a dual threat. Christian McCaffrey, a guy that can beat you in a number of different ways. I think it's fascinating because Tyler Shuck, a guy that I was not a big believer in entering last year's draft, really showed a lot of promise in Kellen Moore's offense, specifically in the second half of the season. They need weapons. You know, Chris Olave was pretty much the go-to guy for the better part of two and a half months. They need more help. And when I think of Kellen Moore recently, I think of Saquon Barkley, who rushed for over 2,000 yards in a year that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So if Kellen Moore gets his hands on Jeremiah Love, I have no doubt that he is going to utilize his varied skill set, and he's going to make life a lot easier for Tyler Shuck and instantly boost the Saints offense.
Absolutely. Alvin Kamara's not getting any younger down there in New Orleans. So if they can get another type of dual threat back like he was back in his prime, that would be great for the New Orleans Saints. On the clock at number nine, the team that really underachieved this year, no matter how you look at it, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, obviously they have an aging Travis Kelce on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to have Patrick Mahomes recovering from an injury. I like them going on the other side of the ball here, taking Miami's edge rusher, Reuben Bain. This Chiefs defense, you know, a couple years ago, the reason they won the Super Bowl, right? They carried that team down the stretch and ended up getting them into the Super Bowl and winning that Super Bowl on a year when nobody really believed in the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's inject some youth into that defense. Let's get somebody who can rush the passer, be a dynamic weapon on the defensive side of the ball to really support Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid's offense there.
Yeah, look, it's a great pick, but if I'm being honest here, if the draft falls the way it does and Jeremiah Love gets taken one pick before the Chiefs are on the clock, I'm sure that Andy Reid will not be happy. They could use a game-changing offensive skill position player. They don't really have that in the backfield. Kareem Hunt, Isaiah Pacheco, both are free agents. You know, even if one of those guys comes back, you know, they're not difference-making players anymore. And Love would have been just an incredible addition. Who knows what the Chiefs are going to look like when Patrick Mahomes is actually going to come back, how much of the season he's going to miss. You would anticipate he would miss at least, you know, the first month and a half. Maybe this is a retooling year. I have a player that we don't have slotted for them in this mock draft, but the Oregon tight end, Kadeem Sadiq, who we'll get to in a little while, is an X factor type of player, and Kelsey's going to be back in all likelihood, right? But how long is he going to be here? But Sadiq to me is a guy that can really help out Patrick Mahomes. I don't think that the Chiefs would go that way. And I agree that they're going to go as of right now on the defensive side of the ball. And Reuben Bain is an incredible player. You saw it during Miami's playoff run, explosive. There's questions about whether he has a short arms. You know, I think there were questions about Brandon Graham when he came out, whether he had short arms, and he ended up having, you know, a solid, very good career for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think Reuben Bain is a guy who can just kind of plug in there. He's gonna produce like he did in college And it's a great choice, and I'm sure Steve Spagnuolo would be smiling ear to ear if they went that way.
Well, he absolutely would be. We're on pick 10. We're almost a third of the way through the Mock Draft 1.0 here on the Between the Tackles podcast. It's the Cincinnati Bengals. Manish, who are they taking?
Wow, I mean, you could have chosen from any number of defensive players, because if anyone has followed the NFL in recent years, they know that the Bengals defense stinks, right? I mean, they could use help along the line, pass rush on the edge, in the secondary. I'm going to go with the secondary and who I think is the best cornerback in this draft. That's LSU's Mansoor Delane. He's a guy who had an exceptional 2025 season. He only allowed 14 receptions. And again, I don't think you can go wrong if you're the Bengals. If you just pick a guy with a pulse who's 21, 22 years old on defense, you're probably going to help your team because the defense was so bad last year. You know, they're going to lose Trey Hendrickson, of course, so that they could go the pass rush route. I just think on the back end, Delane is a guy who can solidify, be a plug and play day one cornerback. And I know there's different schools of thought on defense. You know, I've been around Rex Ryan for a very long time, and his mantra dating back to his time in Baltimore was that you win and lose games fastest in the NFL at two positions, quarterback and cornerback. So if you're not solidified on the back end, you're going to pay for it and get beat on the chunk plays over and over, and you can lose a game if the back end is weak. So I think Delane is a guy who can really significantly improve the secondary of this defense. And they got a lot of work to do. You know, one player is not going to solve their ills on the defensive side of the ball. But now Zach Taylor, you know, the longest tenured coach in the AFC North, has really got to address the defense in free agency and then the draft.
Absolutely. Defense, defense, defense. The MO for the Cincinnati Bengals this offseason. Pick 11. AFC East rival of my New England Patriots, it's the Miami Dolphins. Look, they got a rookie head coach down there, Jeff Hafley. I got them going defense here in this pick at 11. Ohio State safety, Caleb Downs. Look, the defense of the Miami Dolphins really needs a facelift. The secondary really had a rough year last year, allowing the highest percentage of passes to opposing quarterbacks than any other team in the league. They are retooling. They're rebuilding. They got a new regime in there, a new culture. I like them to really bolster that defense down there because they have too many question marks on offense. I mean, what are they going to do with Tua? You know, what are they going to do with Jalen Waddle? It's all due for a rebuild there. It's going to be, I think, a longer rebuild just given some of the financials impacting the Miami Dolphins. So start building the defense out. It's big. Do you know the old mantra of defense wins championships? I still believe that. It was prevalent this year in the Super Bowl for the Seattle Seahawks. So start building that secondary out with Downs.
Yeah, totally agree. Downs is one of the quote unquote safest picks in this draft. He could easily be a top 10 pick when things ultimately shake out. Hafley's going defense. I mean, he's a defensive minded guy. There's a sneaky pick in there, which I don't think they're going to pull the trigger on, but Tennessee cornerback Jermaine McCoy, who missed last season due to an ACL injury, but it just had an explosive 2024 season, is going to be on team's radar around the 10 to 15, 10 to 17 range. Wouldn't surprise me if Miami took McCoy, but I just think that Downs, if he is available at 11, is just too good to pass up. And as you said, look, this is a rebuilding year for the Miami Dolphins. You don't know who their quarterback's going to be. The offensive line is no great shakes either. I think Downs makes a lot of sense for a defensive-minded coach, a leader, a guy who can be a great presence on the back end. I don't think there's much downside, frankly, no pun intended, to Caleb Downs.
Nice. Nice corny pun there. You got it. The pun was intended there. What do you got for your NFC East rival there, Manish?
Yeah, the Cowboys, you know, this is the first of their two first-round picks. You know, much like the Bengals, I think if you watch the Cowboys play, you know, they have an explosive offense, but their defense, you know, has a lot of deficiencies. Now, they did play better as the season went along and some guys got healthier, but they could use a defensive back, a linebacker, edge pass rusher. I'm going to go with edge pass rusher with the 12th overall pick. You can go with a secondary player, with a cornerback. You could, you know, you could go with McCoy. And I don't think that would be a mistake. But I'm going with Auburn edge rusher Keldrick Falk. He's only 20 years old. There's a lot of potential there. And even though cornerback, again, is very tempting, the fact that the pass rush was really lacking after they traded away Micah Parsons leads me to think that Falk would be the guy that that they go to. Now, there, look, you got to be a little bit patient. This isn't a project by any stretch of the imagination, but he is young, world of potential, 6'6", 285. I think he'll turn 21, maybe shortly after the season begins. A great character guy, great leadership, incredible motor, great work ethic. You're never going to have to worry about him off the field. His ceiling is so high. It's so tantalizing. I can't imagine that Stephen Jones and Jerry Jones would pass him up.
Absolutely. They need defense down there. They need to replace Micah Parsons. So why not go out and take a high ceiling edge player there? We got the Rams at 13. Now, this is the first of their two first rounders this year because of the trade with the Atlanta Falcons that paid dividends for them, getting them this top 15 pick in this year's draft. Look, I mean, I think their offense, there's talent everywhere. There's talent everywhere on the offensive side there with the Rams, with Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, Matthew Stafford, Kyron Williams, you name it. They have the offensive talent to make a deep run and make a Super Bowl. They got to the NFC Championship game at that this year. I think they need some help on defense. You know, and I'm going to take one of those guys that you've already kind of mentioned here for the Rams, and that's Tennessee quarterback Jermon McCoy. You mentioned he was injured, you know, with the ACL. Maybe a little risky pick with that. We've seen ACL and L's injuries this, you know, in this time of the league where they don't deteriorate a player, especially a young player, as often as they used to. He's got great athleticism, and this is the type of guy that can really come in and be a shutdown corner for Sean McVay and his defense, which, you know, look out if they get potential of those types of players for that defense coupled with the coaching staff and that offense down there. I mean, you saw they won with an elite defensive player in Aaron Donald years back. Maybe they can get an elite shutdown corner here as well.
Yeah, look, if he's right, he's got great ball skills. I don't think he's going to lose that because he's coming off the ACL. The athleticism is a fair question, but he's young. He can rebound before the ACL injury, just a top-notch athlete. I love the pick. I think it makes a lot of sense for the Rams.
Absolutely. Number 14, Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, look, I mean, how many years have we talked about getting more weapons for Lamar Jackson? I feel like it's been a running joke now for like three or four different years. Mm-hmm. But the reality is that they could lose Tyler Linderbaum, their stalwart center. It's obviously way too early to draft a center at 14. I don't think they're going to do that, but one of their starting guards is also a free agent. Who knows if he'll be back? I'm going to go with the unquestioned best guard in this draft, and that's Penn State's Vega Ione. And I hope I pronounced that right. I think I did. About 6'4", 330, 340, just an unbelievable athlete, a guy who I don't believe gave up a sack in his final 31 games in college. Just a beast. Incredible. He is the stereotypical plug-and-play interior offensive lineman. You will not have to worry about him in injury. And again, you never know at the next level, but he hasn't had any kind of history of that of significance in the past. This is a guy who can be a starting guard, a Pro Bowl guard, all-pro type guard for the next decade. I think, again, we talked about how drafting an offensive lineman for the Giants was a very Ravens pick. I know Harbaugh's not there anymore, but Eric DaCosta, their general manager, is. And, you know, this Penn State guard has Baltimore Ravens written all over him.
Absolutely. Pick 15, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a team that started off hot and came crashing down in this season. You know, I've got them going defense here. They got a defensive-minded head coach. Todd Bowles is defensive-minded. They're still there. Offensively, they got a lot of talent, so I think they need to replenish that defense. Going with Texas A&M's edge, Cassius Howell. I think he can bring some speed and some high energy to this Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, front defensively to really hopefully move that defense forward and, you know, hopefully help Todd Bowles keep his job.
You can't have too many pass rushers. I think there's fair questions about how Howell will hold up against the run. You know, he may not be a three-down player right away, but on the downs you need him to get after the quarterback, I think he's going to make an immediate impact. You know, super twitchy, bendy. He's got all the great traits that you need from an edge rusher. He can make an impact. Again, probably won't be a three-down player right away, but for what Tampa is looking for and what they need and what Todd Bowles likes to do, I think Howell makes a world of sense.
Pick 16. Number second, the second pick for your New York Jets there, Manish. Who you got?
Yeah, look, I mean, I know there's a school of thought that the Jets should draft a wide receiver opposite of Garrett Wilson. You know, I think they may have some guys in-house that can do that just fine. I don't like that idea. What I do like is continuing to rebuild this defense. They've drafted Arvil Reese in the first round of this mock draft. And I'm going with a dynamic, game-changing type of player at safety, and that's Toledo's Emmanuel McNeil Warren. He's a guy who can make plays all over the field. A vicious hitter, incredible sideline-to-sideline speed, incredible athlete. I don't know if he's going to drop to 16. When it's all said and done, he may be off the board. But if he is there, I would run with his name on the card if I were the New York Jets. And if you can come away with your first two picks being McNeil Warren and Reese, I think at least on paper, Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn have to be extremely pleased.
Yeah, moving in the right direction defensively there for the Jets. 17. We have the Detroit Lions, a team that really kind of, I'll say, underachieved this year. You know, a team that we had at the beginning of the season as a Super Bowl pick didn't end up making the playoffs. They need some help defensively. They have a buttload of talent offensively, but they need to, you know, restock and improve that defense. I think they need some help rushing the passer. So I got them going with Miami's edge, Akeem Masidor. Hopefully I said that one right. Having trouble with some of these names here. Look, he was dominant last year. The Lions really need to have somebody with, you know, to opposite of Aiden Hutchinson up there in Detroit. I think this would be a big pick. He's a little bit older for the draft. I think he's going to be about 25 at the time of the draft or right before the draft. But he brings high motor. He brings some instincts, and I really like that for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, it's a great pick. I mean, if he were 21 years old, he would have been taken in the top 10, I think. The fact that he's going to be 25 for the season, it, you know, does put up a flag for some people. You know, some teams will wonder, you know, when he's ready to get his second contract, when he's supposed to be in his prime at the age of 24 or 25, he's going to be in his late 20s. So that is a factor. What I will say is that some people believe that Masidor was just as good, if not better, than Bain as a pass rusher, because Masidor is not a he's not a one-dimensional player. He's stout against the run. As you mentioned, highly productive last season, 16 pressures, 5.5 sacks. He affected the quarterback so often. When he is going to go up against interior players, guards, he's going to bull rush him. He's going to win right away. I like the diversity. I just think that, you know, we have him 17th. I think age has so much to do with that. You know, he's not a long, bendy guy by any stretch, 6'3", 265. But all that being said, if he were a few years younger, I have no doubt that he'd be in the conversation to be a top 10 pick.
Absolutely. 18. We got the Minnesota Vikings, Manish, a team with a new GM. Who do we think that the Vikings are going to go with?
Yeah, well, they're not taking a quarterback, that's for sure. Maybe next year. Look, Harrison Smith is out of the equation now. They're going to need to replace him at safety. I like the Purdue transfer. Played at Oregon, Dylan Thieneman, rangy player, smart player. You know, I think his eye discipline is pretty solid against the run. At least that's what you hear. He's a playmaker. And again, someone's going to have to replace Harrison Smith. I think it makes sense for this team, what they're looking for. Really smart player who started his career at free safety, and then for whatever reason kind of got moved a little bit closer to the line. Ultimately, you know, his career ended as a free safety. I think that's his future in the NFL. Very rangy, athletic guy, a guy that makes a lot of sense for Kevin O'Connell.
Absolutely. Let's move on to the Panthers. They're picking at 19. They could go a couple of different ways here. Do they want to add more help for Bryce Young, who seemed to take a step forward this year? Or do they want to improve the defense that had the second worst pressure rate in the NFL last year? I'm going with the defense. I got them taking Clemson's edge TJ Parker here to really help bolster the pass rush for this Panthers defense. He did underperform in 2025, but he had a really good 2024. And he did impress during Senior Bowl week, during all the festivities with that. So I like the Panthers to increase or improve their defense with this pick.
Yeah, look, I think that pass rusher has to be the first thing they address. Their left tackle, former top five, top 10 pick. We don't know when he's coming back. He missed the bulk of last season with an injury. And I think that, you know, linebacker has been a problem for them for years now. But you saw at the end or the second half of last year, Nick Scorton, their second round pick from a year ago, really do some quality things on the edge. If you can get Parker paired up with Scorton, have two young pieces on the edge, I think that would serve them well. It is tempting. I'm going to mention this guy again. It's tempting to give Bryce Young another weapon, and Kadeem Sadiq, the tight end from Oregon, would really benefit Bryce Young. But I just think that, you know, as you mentioned, the pass rush was so poor last year. I think only the Niners and Jets had fewer than Carolina's 30 sacks, second to last, as you mentioned, in pressure rate. They need to get guys who can, if not get home, at least affect the quarterback. To me, TJ Parker would be that guy, you know, given some of the guys who are off the board in this mock draft right now.
Absolutely. Cowboys for their second pick of the first round, Manish.
Yeah, look, we talked about potentially getting a cornerback with that 12th pick. I had them going with a pass rusher. So I'm going to go, the secondary this time. You know, whether it's cornerback, pass rusher, cornerback, I think those are the two positions you really got to keep an eye on when you're looking at Dallas's first two picks. I like Colton Hood from Tennessee. He's a guy who will be a day one starter. Tough, tenacious player, a guy who can cover press man zone, a guy that, again, makes this defense better the minute that he steps on the field. I don't think it's rocket science when you're looking at the Cowboys. They need help in the secondary. They need pass rushing help. Those two areas will be addressed whether they go with the pass rusher first or second at 12 or 20 remains to be seen. Probably depends on how the board's going to fall. But, you know, given the way that the board has fallen in this mock draft, Colton Hood, to me, would be the smartest choice.
Hey, Cowboys improve their defense. I don't think anybody can complain about that if you're a Cowboys fan. 21, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another intriguing situation to be in here at 21. We don't know who's playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers next year. They also know what it's like to reach for a quarterback and swing and miss badly. So I'm going to have the Steelers staying away from Ty Simpson here, just to hopefully not repeat a mistake that they made, a few years back. So I'm going to have them go and get another weapon to be opposite of DK Metcalf down there. And it's USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon. This is somebody who very well couldn't be off the board in the real NFL draft when the time comes. But for the sake of this mock draft, he's still sitting there. I think he's a good wide receiver that could be opposite of DK Metcalf. The Steelers didn't really have anybody outside of DK Metcalf last year for Aaron Rodgers. Now, if Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback again for the Steelers, I think they would love to see this happen. But at the same time, I think whoever the quarterback is, having those two guys to throw the ball to would be huge.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'd be a reach to take Simpson. And the fact that they did whiff badly on Kenny Pickett probably stings in that building still. So I don't think that makes a lot of sense. Going this route makes a world of sense. My biggest question is, will Lemon actually be available, you know, when the draft rolls around? You know, falling this far would be incredible value for them, and I think that's it's value that they just won't be able to pass up.
22, the Los Angeles Chargers, Manish. Who are you taking for the Los Angeles Chargers this year?
I'm Berger. You're a Patriot fan. You know the Chargers suck along the offensive line. Now, part of the reason is that both tackles, Rashawn Slater and Joe Ault, were hurt. You would hope that they would be healthy. But the rest of that line needs a world of help. Their center, Bradley Bozeman's retiring. They're not going to draft a center. They're going to replace at least one guard. I like Kaden Proctor. I mean, he's a mountain of a man, 6'7", 366. He can play tackle. I think he could be an exceptional guard. And if you slide him in at guard, it would help out Justin Herbert. There are receivers that are still available that Mike McDaniels is probably going to be lobbying Harbaugh for. But I just think it makes a lot of sense to beef up the interior of the offensive line. You know, Proctor, polarizing to some degree when you're talking about getting off the board this quote-unquote high. I like the move. Obviously, a lot of this is predicated on what happens in free agency. You know, I mentioned Tyler Linderbaum earlier. Now, again, he's a different position. He's center. But Ortiz, the Chargers general manager, came from Baltimore. So it would not surprise me if he made a run at Linderbaum to kind of solidify at least one part of the interior in free agency. But if they don't address it in free agency, to me, Proctor is an intriguing add for an offensive line that's, you know, been absolutely brutal on and off for the better part of Justin Herbert's career.
I think it would be a great fit if you add him in at a guard position, and then you add in Joel and Rashawn Slater coming back from injury. I think it would be great. But I'm going to pass number 23 back to you again, Manish, because it's a certain team that you enjoy watching. So let's hear what you got for your Eagles.
I think if you were, you know, honest about what happened with the Eagles, the defense is solid, right? It's not perfect. Clearly one of the best handful of defenses in the NFL. Not many holes there to warrant a first-round pick on that side of the ball. Offensively, however, everything stemmed from the offensive line play. Jeff Stoutland, their longtime offensive line coach, resigned in a bitter divorce, and the run game was a shell of its former self. You know, I mentioned Saquon Barkley rushing for 2,000 yards earlier with Kellen Moore during their Super Bowl year a couple years ago. The offensive line was horrible. I mean, let's just be honest about it. It was not good at all. They had problems all over the line, interior, both tackles, Lane Johnson, future Hall of Famer at right tackle, but he missed another chunk of time. He's only getting older. There was speculation about whether Lane Johnson would retire. He is going to be back probably, you know, for swan song, but you don't know if he's actually going to be able to play a full 17-game slate. I mean, logic would tell you that he's going to miss some time. And again, he's not going to be around in 2027 and beyond. So you really need a replacement at tackle. I love Clemson's offensive tackle, Blake Miller. This is a guy who's had 54 college starts. The Cal Ripken of offensive tackles in this draft, doesn't miss time, reliable, solid, prototypical right guard. I think he can be a guy who can be your starter with potential Pro Bowl type play for the next decade. Now, I don't think it's going to be Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson was a top five pick, I believe. But I do think that Blake Miller can solidify that side. And that is something that Howie Roseman is not going to take lightly. He's not going to kick the can down the road. The Eagles have a habit of drafting players who, even if they don't necessarily play a lot as rookies along the offensive line, they're grooming to be starters the following year or even perhaps the year after that. But I think for Miller, it'll be 2027. And I think he's going to get some starts because I don't believe that Lane Johnson is going to be counted on to play 17 games. I love the pick, honestly. If Blake Miller does get to the Eagles at 23, that would be an absolutely solid choice to remake this offensive line into what it had been for so long prior to last season.
style of offense that the Eagles play, it would be a huge get for them with Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley there. I'm going to move it along to number 24. It is the Cleveland Browns on the clock again. They got this pick from Jacksonville last year in the trade that netted Jacksonville Travis Hunter. You know, we talked about how the Browns, you know, they need offensive line help and weaponry help. They went off the board with their first pick, took a wide receiver to get whoever's playing quarterback there some weapons. Now we're going to talk about protecting that quarterback, whoever it may be. Georgia's offensive tackle, Monroe Freeling, I think he had some injuries. You know, he played well down the stretch. They really need to bolster and rebuild that offense as a whole. You added a weapon. You're adding where I think the build needs to start, and that's in the trenches between the tackles. Hey, you like that pun? Got to get it in there. But yeah, give me Freeling to help bolster that Browns offensive line.
Yeah, I like it. Look, I mean, dealt with some injury issues. We played well down the stretch. I think that's important. And the Browns really should come away with some offensive line help in this draft with one of their two picks. And I think Freeling is the best available guy in my estimation at this point in the draft.
Absolutely. Five. We got the Bears on the clock. Who we going with there, Manish?
Yeah, we're having a trade here. You know, we're kind of spicing things up in this mock draft. It's only mock draft 1.0, so we only have one trade in this version. I think future trades are on the table. But look, if you see that the Bears are on the clock, followed by the Bills and then the 49ers, I think the Bills and 49ers are going to be after the same player, a player who many people think will be gone before 25. He's dealing with a hamstring injury, not participating in the combine. Some people are concerned about how healthy he actually is or how bad this hamstring injury actually is. I have the 49ers leapfrogging the Bills, moving from 27 to 25 to take Arizona State wide receiver Jordan Tyson. This is an explosive player. You know, maybe the second best wide receiver in the draft when it's all said and done. But the hamstring injury has pressed pause for some teams. He injured it a while back. He's still not healthy to participate in the combine. I mean, what's actually going on? But I think by the time the draft rolls around, there'll be some clarity, or at least enough clarity for the 49ers to say, hey, you know what? I want this guy. And if anyone knows anything about Kyle Shanahan, he has a penchant for falling in love with certain offensive skill position players. And he will do anything he can, whether it's in the draft or it's in free agency, to get his guy. I think Jordan Tyson makes a world of sense. Obviously, Brandon Ayuk's not going to be back. They need upgrades and difference makers along the offense. Tyson, if healthy, can be that type of player. Great yak, which obviously is important in the 49ers offense as well. But if you can get past these durability concerns, you might find a gem. And I just have an inkling that Kyle Shanahan is going to fall in love with Jordan Tyson and be worried that the Bills, who obviously need pass-catching help for Josh Allen, are going to nab him. And so they make a little small trade, leapfrog the Bills, and get their guy.
I'm all about the Bills getting leapfrogged to lose their guy. I'm all about it. But now the Bills are on the clock here, and they got this guy making the selection for them. If good thing it doesn't happen in real life, because it would not be pretty for Bills Mafia out there if I'm making the picks. But you know, we know they need wide receivers. We know they need wide receiver help, offensive weaponry help for Josh Allen. You could argue that they need to get some defense, especially up front. Their run defense was not very good last year. Do they go that route? But we're going to go with the offensive storyline here. And it's a guy that you've talked about quite a bit, Manish, on this during this mock draft. Oregon tight end Kadeem Sadiq. Incredible athleticism, great speed. You know, Dawson Knox isn't getting any younger up there. Buffalo and Josh Allen really do rely on the tight ends. They obviously have Dalton Kincaid, who's still going to be a force for the Buffalo Bills. But adding in that second threat with the tight end Sadiq could be great for Buffalo Bills fans.
Yeah, he's such an interesting player. You know, I mentioned it a bit ago. You can line up him anywhere. You can line him up at wide receiver. You can have him in line. He's a terrific blocker. So it's not as if he's a one-dimensional player. Now, he's undersized, but he's incredibly strong. I mean, this is a guy who athletically is off the charts great. And pairing him with Dalton Kincaid can only help Joe Brady and Josh Allen. Now, I was very tempted, when putting this mock draft together with you, to make a strong case for Indiana wide receiver Omar Cooper Jr. I mean, this guy, Fernando Mendoza's top weapon. Anyone who watched college football last year remembers that unbelievable toe tap catch in the back of the end zone to beat Penn State. That was just a glimpse of what Omar Cooper is. I don't think they can go wrong if they go with Cooper. I just think, you know, Sadiq sitting here at 26, I thought this is a guy who could potentially be gone in the middle of the first round. If he's there, I think that the Bills will have an interesting decision to make. I just think that, again, he offers such a unique skill set, H-back, tight end, wide receiver, whatever you want to call him, just a super talented player. There were some concerns, however, this past season on drops, but if that's something that can be corrected, which I do think it is, he could be a steal this late in the draft.
27, we have the Chicago Bears as a result of their trade with the 49ers picking at 27. Look, their offense, Caleb Williams took a step forward this year. They have, you know, DJ Moore, Rome Odunze. They got a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Their defense has been suspect at points during last season. I think they got to improve their run defense. So I got them taking Texas Tech defensive tackle Lee Hunter. He's a big dude. I think that, you know, this Bears team really needs to improve that defense up front. I think we saw once Sean McVay went back to the run game in the playoffs that it ended up kind of being the end for the Bears. I know they had the miracles at the end, but the running game really took over in the better part of that divisional round matchup. So beef up that that defensive front, build it from the trenches out.
I totally agree. You can't really go wrong if you're Ben Johnson picking a defender at any level. They need improvements really on all three levels, certainly on the back end and in the trenches. So, you know, Hunter is a solid choice for them in the interior. And, as much as it probably pains Ben Johnson not to take another offensive weapon, I think, you know, this is a smart move.
Absolutely. Nick Caserio and the Texans on the clock at 28. Manish, who are they taking?
Yeah, look, Nick Caserio deserves a lot of credit for bringing the Texans back to relevance. But the one thing that he has whiffed on, and look, we talked to John McClain about this recently in a podcast episode. The one thing that Caserio has not done a particularly good job of is shoring up the offensive line. And he needs to address that. I think Utah tackle Caleb Lemieux would be a good pick here toward the end of the first round. He's not a finished product, but he's got the core skills to be a solid tackle. They need to give C.J. Stroud some help. They really do. I mean, C.J. Stroud makes his fair share of mistakes, but a lot of that is because he's under duress. They need to address the offensive line in free agency, in the draft. It has to improve, or they're wasting what I believe is the best defense in football.
29, the Los Angeles Rams are picking again. I'm going to get crazy at 29 here. Alabama quarterback Ty Simpson. They are going to draft the successor to Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is aging. You can say that they should go defense again. I like them getting the guy in the house to sit behind Matthew Stafford for a year or two and learn Sean McVay's offense and really start to continue what Sean McVay has done out there in Los Angeles.
Well, the word on the street is that the Rams do have an affinity for Ty Simpson. I, however, do not personally have an affinity as a player for Ty Simpson. This is a guy undersized, 6'2", I believe, average arm talent, not particularly good on deep throws. The lion's share of his college career was out of shotgun, so you got to kind of teach this guy how to play under center. Nagging injuries last year, inaccurate over the past final month. Have I said enough about this guy? By the way, I buried the lead. Only 15 career college starts. And I think what recent history has shown is that if you draft guys who just haven't had enough snaps in college at the quarterback position, you're really asking for trouble. You know, I can point to Trey Lance, who was a top three pick by the 49ers. If you go back even further, I can point to Mitch Trubisky, who flopped with the Bears. These guys need to play. And that's why I thought that Dante Moore, for example, made the right choice not coming out this year, staying an extra year to get a little bit more seasoning. I'm not a big fan of this pick. I do think that the Rams would pick Simpson if he were there at 29. Frankly, I think that if they get an inkling that somebody is close to them and thinking of drafting Ty Simpson, that they may actually try to leapfrog those teams. Yeah, I don't know who exactly would fit that mold if you looked at the teams right in front of them. But you never know. The draft, you know, crazy stuff happens at the draft. I don't think Ty Simpson's a first-round talent. I think he'd be better suited as being a day two pick. But I do think that the Rams are actively looking for Matt Stafford's replacement. And they have, you know, targeted Simpson as somebody that is an intriguing possibility.
Pick 30. Pick 30. Who do you have Denver Broncos going with?
We got the Broncos. You know, if not for a quarterback injury, they probably would be in the Super Bowl. No disrespect, Burge, to your Patriots. I think this guy might actually be the steal of the first round. Not because I think he's going to be the best player in the first round, but given the fact that Georgia linebacker C.J. Allen has now, in our mock draft, fallen to 30, to me, would be incredible for Sean Payton. I think that he would run to the podium to draft this kid who's got great instincts, incredible in dropping in zone, a smart football player, a solid football player at a position that the Broncos desperately need. It would be a terrific choice for an already solid defense.
Now you're going to make me go with, what are my New England Patriots going to do in this draft this year? I'm so torn. I would love for them to beef up the offensive line and follow, basically practice what I'm preaching on this mock draft for teams to build, continue building from the trenches out. But it's just too tempting to take a wide receiver in the first round to give Drake May another weapon. You know, it's a guy that you mentioned already when you were talking about the Buffalo Bills. If they pass on him for Sadiq and the Patriots get this guy and he's a stud, it's going to be great for me because I'm going to be laughing at Bills Mafia all the way to the Super Bowl. Omar Cooper Jr. from Indiana, Mendoza's top weapon, had the catch of the year. You know, the Patriots are in an uncertain situation with Stephon Diggs. We don't know what's going to happen there. And they don't really, I mean, they went to the Super Bowl, but they don't have any really dynamic playmakers. Cooper can be that guy for them. And, you know, I do have my pause with the Patriots drafting wide receivers in the first round. I get nightmares of N'Keal Harry all the time. Don't think this is the same thing. Bill Belichick's not here making the picks. I trust in Vrabel and Shane Steichen and Elliott Wolf with this. And I think Cooper could be a stud for the years to come with Drake May.
Yeah, I love this pick. Again, in a few months, Cooper might be, you know, in the mid first round when it's all said and done. But just like when we had Greg Bedard on recently on a podcast, he said to him, "Oh, you're going to run it back, really, with Pop Douglas and Kayshon Booty? You don't know what Stephon Diggs' situation is going to be. Will they cut him? Will he get in trouble because of the off-field incident?" You don't know. You can't bank on them trading for A.J. Brown. That's been like a big storyline in the early part of the offseason. But we don't know at this point who this wide receiving core is going to be. And it's got to be better. I mean, that's the bottom line, right? It has to be better. If you're going to develop Drake May the right way, you do have to give him better weapons than what he currently has. And I think that Cooper, you know, a guy who's fearless, he's going to run crossing routes, you know, make tough catches in the middle of the field, a strong player. I think that Mike Vrabel would be ecstatic personally. And I know that there's offensive line concerns, and yeah, Morgan Moses is not getting any younger. He's going to be 35. Who knows if Will Campbell's the long-term answer at tackle. We've talked about that, Burge. I mean, maybe ultimately his future is in the interior and you do need to get a tackle. I just don't see a player at tackle at 31 that you can definitely say would be an upgrade. I think there's a lot of question marks. And for me, Cooper has the fewest question marks in areas of need for New England. I think it would be an incredible pick. I really do. I have my doubts about whether he'll be available at 31, but in mock draft 1.0, he is available, and I think it's a home run pick for the Patriots.
Love it. Close us out, Manish. The Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Who do they go with?
Yeah, look, I think my gut tells me, every fiber of my being tells me that John Schneider is going to trade out of this pick like he is wont to do. He has done this in the past, not shy of moving out of the first round, trading down. It could be something as slight as flip-flopping picks with the Jets, who are picking first on day two. The Jets may want to get their third first-round pick with that, you know, fifth-year guarantee, fifth-year option availability. If they're targeting someone and if they believe there's a team behind them that wants to leapfrog them to make a deal with Seattle. But I think that John Schneider is going to be open for business. But for mock draft version 1.0, the Seahawks are going to keep the pick. They're going to help out Sam Darnold. They're going to help out JSN and not look very far. Look in state at Washington wide receiver Denzel Boston. This is a big-bodied guy, a really solid compliment, I think, for JSN, would help Sam Darnold as well. So you don't have to constantly funnel the ball to one person, because I do think defenses will adjust. JSN's a terrific player. He's going to have a terrific season, barring injury. But the sheer volume of targets and catches this year, I don't think that'll be repeated next year. Darnold and their new offensive coordinator are going to have to find ways to get somebody else the ball. And, you know, Boston has the pedigree and the skill set to be a really nice number two receiver in this offense.
There you have it. Mock draft 1.0. It is draft season. Combine is going on as we speak. The draft, we're still 2 months away from the NFL draft. Unfortunately, we got to get through free agency and everything like that for you. We'll be doing few more of these, I think, as we get closer, as we start seeing things and see the results of the combine. And, you know, free agency will obviously impact what teams need in the first round of the NFL draft. Look, it's the offseason. I'm looking forward to every step of the way here, getting ready into the, you know, as we approach free agency in a little less than, a couple of more weeks here, we'll be there. Can't wait. Can't wait. And, well, there you have it. As always, find us on X, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, at Tackles Pod. Be sure to follow, like, subscribe, interact with us, send us Twitter posts, all that. We'll respond. We love talking with the people out there that listen to us. Come on here and talk ball every single week. Can't wait to do it again, Manish.
Can't wait for 2.0. See if there's any changes.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure there will be. So we will catch you next time. Peace out.